And aloha, welcome to the Travel Angel Radio Show. I'm Cindy Paulus, and I'm here with my co-host, Kathy Takushi. Aloha, Kathy.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Happy Monday.
Yes, and a lot of travel news. It seems like there's always more and more travel news, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like every day there's like travel news. And of course, the Travel Angel Radio Show is the only locally out of Hawaii produced travel show. So I feel an obligation to keep people posted. I guess today we decided there's so much to cover, but today we're going to talk about Cuba. We've talked about Cuba a lot. You know, I want to go to Cuba.
Right? I do too. Yeah.
And we've talked to wonderful people I know who are from Cuba. We've had some of your friends who are your clients.
Who've been to Cuba.
From at Captivating Journeys at 244-1414. You can call always for all this information as well. So Cuba's come up a lot on this show. Now, this last week, kind of had been some warnings this might happen. Trump decided to reverse a lot of issues that had been decided by Obama on Cuba.
Yes.
And so it follows, I mean, there had already been some disappointment from some travel, including airline people, about the fact that Cuba hadn't been booked as much as they thought it might be booked. But part of that was because people were afraid that what was going to happen, in fact, did happen, right?
Yeah.
Other things that affected is that the prices went up in Cuba somewhat on hotels. Many people said the prices increased 100%.
Well, they're not cheap. Everybody has this preconception that Cuba is inexpensive.
They do, yeah.
And I did too, actually, mm-hmm. but people that have come back say that it's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's our own prejudice thinking that if you go to Mexico and if you go to South America and if you
right.
go to any place south of the border, it's cheaper than America. That's what
mm-hmm.
we think, right?
Right.
Even in Caribbean, we think the Caribbean's cheaper. And most of the times it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of surprised to find out that Cuba not only wasn't, but that indeed sometimes they raise the prices, knowing that now the hot in thing to do is to go to Cuba. One of the ways around that, of course, is to take a cruise, because if you're on a cruise, you don't have to pay hotel fares.
Right.
And you save on other things such as food, et cetera, you know. A lot of people who like to go to Cuba, however, are free and independent travelers, and they'd like to be adventuresome, and they'd like to get out and explore and do their own thing as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we're going to be talking about for about the next half hour or so, is about how the new changes are going to affect travel. My first gut reaction was like, oh, no, this is going to ruin everything. Maybe not so much, maybe. There's actually a lot of Cuban people are trying to figure this out as well right now, right?
Right. I think for the most part, currently, nothing really is changing until the Office of Foreign Assets Control puts things into law. So up until then, it's kind of business as usual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Interesting. I didn't know there was an Office of Foreign Assets Control.
The new OFAC. I had to look that one up this morning because I didn't know what it was.
I had never heard of that.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're in charge of a lot of money
mm-hmm.
and assets.
Well, and actually this article that I had, I don't know why, but the Department of Treasury kind of breaks down, and I guess this all falls under the Department of Treasury, which
would naturally, if you're saying assets, would be in
yeah,
the Treasury, right?
And this office is under the uh-huh. of Foreign Assets Control is under the Department of Treasury.
Well, I've invited Jürgen. Jürgen Steinmetz is been a guest on the show quite often. He's almost like a regular, but I love him. He's based out of Oahu. And he's in charge of like 10 organizations that all have to do with travel. And he goes around the world and he has his own newswire. And he's really up on these things. And so he's going to be calling in here in 5 minutes now to kind of give us his overview of it. So we're going to go into that. In the second half of the show, I've got a wonderful interview with Martha Rake Braden, who is a fabulous folk singer, musician. Lots of CDs out. She's married to Greg Braden, who's very, very big in the New Age community and does a lot of wonderful talks. She's been on tour in the Southwest and went on her latest tour to a lot of wonderful places, including Yellowstone and Wyoming. She went to, well, she's based in Santa Fe, but she went to also, Montana, Jackson Hole. And she's going to talk about touring in that area. She did it all by car, so that's interesting. We'll do that as well. So tell me, you as a travel agent with Captivating Journeys, by the way, Kathy can help you always, 244-1414. Couple of things have been coming up. A lot of people have been, who've been waiting. Oh, may I raise my hand on the Paul Gauguin cruise? It's down to the wire really getting it, because on the last show you said some of the balcony rooms are already going. Mm-hmm. Are you still getting calls still about mm-hmm. the Paul Gauguin cruise that are the Com Ina rate? I guess people are really getting serious about September, October, November, and some of those dates as well. And if you really are serious, you got to get on this because it's going fast.
Yeah, I wouldn't wait because that's right around the corner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to book your airfare from Maui is running around about $1,000. But I've had a few clients that have been able to use their Hawaiian miles, so they're going free down there. And then, so if you want to use miles, the sooner the better.
I wonder how many miles it is. Do you know?
It's about 55,000 miles per person.
That's not round bad. Trip.
Yeah.
55,000, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay, yeah, that's a good way to go.
If you can get it. So.
Yeah. And may I just also mention that if you book with Kathy, you get a free transport from the Hawaiian Airlines terminal there right down to the ship that she throws in, which is very kind of you. Because the way it works is you leave on a Saturday night, you fly out of Honolulu, you arrive, I think, at about like 11 o'clock or something.
9:30.
Oh, is it 9:30? It seemed later.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you get the transport right over there to the cruise line.
Mm-hmm. You get on the cruise, and then off you go.
And you literally take off that night. The cruise ship leaves around 11 o'clock or midnight.
They wait for the Hawaiian Air flight for that. So.
And you wake up in a beautiful Tahitian island.
Huahine is usually your first stop.
Which is low. And I don't think I've been to Huahine. When I was there, it was stopping in Raiatea.
Yeah. And, another big thing over the weekend was the arrival or welcoming home of the Hokulea.
It was huge.
Yeah. And they were showing back some of the how their journey began. And a lot of Hawaii came from Raiatea, and how they were given the rocks from the marae, or you know, which is their heiaus. There was one big, huge, very important marae. I think it's one of the most important in the South Pacific. And we actually had went there in Raiatea when we were on the Paul Gauguin. So,
but this connection is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know when we did this last cruise I was on years ago now, there were people on board the ship that actually were going just because of that connection. They were Hawaiians, and they wanted to go to see that connection. And there is that deep root connection between a lot of local Hawaiians. And it's kind of nice that you can get this discount. It disappeared for a while. And we kept waiting, when is it going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
And it finally came back, and now it's going fast. So I know I've been waiting too, but I want to kind of jump on board and do that one after I get my crew. I can't wait till after I get my cruise done. I'm going in August. And, you know, I have to throw out there, too, of course, there was this terrible fire. I think there was 57 people who died
in Portugal. Yeah.
It's scary. It wasn't where you're going to be going. You're going on a cruise to Portugal in October, I believe, right?
We are. I'm taking a group on a Viking Portugal river cruise. So we'll be doing that in October.
Aloha, is this Jürgen?
Yes, hi, Cindy. Aloha, how are you?
Aloha, Jürgen. I just always love talking to you. Jürgen is a regular on the show, and he's such an amazing resource. Tell people all of the different organizations you work with, Jürgen.
How much time do I have?
You have about 35 minutes.
No, I'm publisher of Itobo News, where a news publication for the travel and tourism industry. We started back in 1999. It makes us actually the oldest publication in the world. We reach out to travel professionals on a daily, some even on an hourly basis, everywhere on the globe. We have about 230,000 travel professionals that receive our newsletter. We are seen by an average of 1.3 million on articles with our various partnerships. And we're trying to stay on top what news is relevant to travel and tourism. And besides our own blog, we publish another number of other blogs for specific audiences. Our latest edition is wines.travel. It's all about wine and gourmet.
Wow.
And we're excited about that. We have a blog that reached out to the LGBT community, gaytourism.travel. We also have a blog. It's HawaiiTourismAssociation.com. Just has information about hotels and different issues relevant to our inbound tourism industry.
Well, I'm always impressed by what you do. I did get an email from you, I think a week ago, which was very interesting, saying you were looking for people to do work with you in all different kinds of capacities, which shows your growth, of course.
Yes, we had an enormous response, and I'm still catching up on this, and we're a very small company with a huge reach, and we're trying to reach out. Initially, what we have in place is a network of, we call them tourism ambassadors, and there are people that don't get paid by us, but they work with us, and they're feeding us news, and they attend events for us, and these are many times they're retired senior people in the travel industry everywhere on the globe. We have ambassadors in 134 countries.
Wow.
So whenever we, traditionally when we reach out to any type of activity or news, we always try to involve our ambassadors. And sometimes it becomes quite relevant. Many years ago when there was, unfortunately, a terror attack on the Marriott Hotel in Jakarta, the general manager was on our ambassador team. So we had information talking to him while he was literally in the building. And when this all unfolded, we have other similar situations during the tsunami crisis, unfortunately, in Southeast Asia. One of our ambassadors was the head of the Sri Lanka Tourism Board, who called us actually when he was in southern Sri Lanka, and we helped him to get information to the German embassy and responded to an offer for help. So sometimes you get involved in things that are quite fascinating in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to do it. I mean, like you, Cindy, I think you love your business when it mm-hmm. comes to news. It's exciting, and we all
it
love
is.
What we do.
And more and more and more, we're seeing news like I've never seen before on travel every single day. We used to have inside stuff that you'd see in the travel business that would come, in doses, small doses. You had your finger on the pulse of it. Now, every day on national news, we're hearing more stories about what's going on with the latest situation or some airline industry situation or something going on with someone, a passenger on a plane or some news story. And there's so many it's hard to focus on. But we did want to, and I invited you specifically today, to talk about Cuba. On the show here, we've had quite a few conversations, and I'm here in the studio with Kathy Takushi from Captivating Journeys, who co-hosts the show with me, and she brought up some interesting information she got from the Department of Treasury breaking down the new Cuba policies. There's a lot of confusion. I was shocked. You must have been too. Maybe not surprised, but still shocked when we heard about the Trump announcement of what his cutting back, what had been forward move towards Cuba. So I asked you to join us today to try to clarify what that means and how it's going to affect tourism in Cuba.
Yeah, well, the U.S. is only still a relatively small market for Cuba. Cuba last year had more than 4 million, in 2016, had more than 4 million international visitors. So the travel and tourism industry always has been very important for Cuba. And the number one visitors, actually, to that country were Canadians and were Germans.
Hmm.
So you find a lot of charter flights, regular scheduled flights coming in on, I think, five different international airports in Cuba from from Europe, from Canada, and from other parts of the world. So it was never really isolated in a way we may have thought it was. It was isolated when it came to connections with the U.S. And some of this isolation actually played in many times in the tourism industry to its advantage, because it developed so independent from our input, you know, with all these old cars still driving around, and it's really a different atmosphere. I've been to Cuba a couple of times, first time maybe about 7 years ago, and I had a great time. I went actually with a German group, and really enjoyed my stay, and I went back for the United Nations World Tourism Organization Regional Conference on the Americas back in 2016, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw some changes. The hotels were hopelessly overbooked and sold out.
Mm.
So business is not hurting, and I don't think it's going to be hurting because Americans are cutting back. I find it, as a U.S. citizen, I find it quite in violation of my right to travel. You know, the United Nations World Tourism Organization and all international tourism associations talking a lot in the last few years about the global right and human rights of travel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not in the Soviet Union. I grew up in Germany during the time when the Western and Eastern world was divided and
mm-hmm.
the borders were closed. But us, me, living in the western part of Germany, was always allowed to travel to the eastern part, but they couldn't travel the other way around. Now we've been putting this fence up also on our part. I don't think I think I would actually challenge the legality, but I'm not an attorney,
mm-hmm.
That it's even legal to restrict an American citizen from wanting to travel wherever he wants to travel. If
mm-hmm.
I want to travel to North Korea and take a risk of being arrested and thrown in jail, so be it. It's my right. And so I find it quite disturbing, and I always found it disturbing. That's why eTurbo News had for many years supported open borders, not only with Cuba, but literally anywhere in the world. The whole situation with political motivated visa restrictions, travel warnings, and travel alerts has been almost a pest in the industry. And that's
mm-hmm.
not a U.S. thing. It's done everywhere in the world. But this is directly by the order of our government to stop people from traveling to a place they may want to travel to. I feel violated, I have to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also got to be the concern of that there was already a lot of forward motion. I know this administration says they're all for business, but there were a lot of business contacts and connections made to move ahead with the incoming American tourists that were being set in place. And I think agricultural companies and people are making deals to already ship more things down there. So there was businesses, as well as we know how big the tourism business is, that are going to be affected by this, I think.
Yeah, U.S. business, and this is really, I think, what we're overlooking. The business directly affected with this are airlines that started service to Cuba, and they probably have to cut down. These are investment projects from American companies that had planned to do hotel investments in Cuba. I can tell you I overheard a conversation when I was in Cuba a year ago, and when everyone started about the influence of the American market and the new opportunity for the American market. I actually happened to stand right next to the Minister of Tourism from Cuba, who was introduced to me by the UNWTO Secretary General, Taleb Rifa, in Havana, and we talked about American investment, and the words from the Minister of Cuba was that, of course, he welcomes any kind of hotel development and investment, and he has been approached by Marriott and the Starwood Group, what is now the same, and by several other U.S. investors, but he personally would love to work more with the Chinese, and they had similar requests by the Chinese. Now, this was a year ago, and I'm not sure whether Marriott or anyone actually signed any deals for investment. They may have. I just don't know right offhand. But I know the Chinese do, and the Chinese have worked with Cuba for many years. And the Chinese are smart. They're not doing this because they're depending on an influence of the U.S. market. Cuba is growing. Hotels are booked. People love to travel there from everywhere in the world. I don't think it's going to do a lot of harm to Cuba. If anything, it will do a harm to U.S. companies that actually had big plans in Cuba to do something. And also, I don't take the argument by the Trump administration or by any administration saying we don't want to help the government of Cuba in expanding. It's not the government. There are people behind, and they're in the government. And even though it may help the government, that's in many countries the same. We cannot control this in any country in the world. That government has profit out of tourism. They have profit out of tourism, but it does trigger down. When you stay in the hotels I stayed, you see the street vendors, private small businesses profiting from tourism. This argument. What came up last week, I really cannot buy.
Well, on top of that, I was hearing that the government is involved in, which is not surprising since it was a communist regime, and it is a communist regime for so many years, but the government's involved in 60% of the hotels. Now, 60% is a large figure. Now, if all of a sudden individual people-to-people travel is affected, and you can't stay in those hotels, that is definitely going to affect that business and those people and all the people that are part of the government, which is a huge amount of people, as you were saying. Now, to get into some details here, because I think there's going to be a lot of confusion. The average person hears a news story. The news story is maybe 2 minutes long, maybe 3 minutes long, and there's a knee-jerk reaction, and it may not be based on really any kind of understanding. So let's talk about the difference between group people-to-people travel versus what's individual people-to-people travel. And this is where I think it needs to be clarified. From what I hear, individual people-to-people travel is going to be affected. That's educational travel that does not involve academic study pursuant to a degree program. And the president instructed Treasury to issue regulations that will end individual people-to-people travel. Now, group people-to-people travel is, I think, still authorized. Is that your understanding?
I read this, and I read it several times, and I'm not quite clear how you can define the difference and you want to police it. I actually read an article, and I cannot remember where I read it, that the U.S. government is trying to police this. So we're going to send spies over there to see who you're standing with and what stores are you going into and where you buy your next drink. It's impossible to do. And there are many examples in the world where we have similar situations that the government owns a big percentage of hotels. Look at the Maldives. In the Maldives, you have all the major hotels, the Marriotts, the Hyatts, the Shangri-Las, everyone making a lot of money on their five-star resorts where you spend $1,000 a night and more. It's in order to build a hotel, 50% has to be, ownership has to be in the government. Now, we overlook that I think in the last few decades, every minister of tourism in the Maldives eventually ends up in jail. It's a very totalitarian government, beautiful from the tourism aspect, but people are suffering a lot of human rights abuses. So why don't we stop this? You want to be policemen all over the world when the government owns something and you don't think the government is worth owning it? It's utterly ridiculous, I think.
Well, it's also so kind of difficult. As you mentioned, you read it a few times, and I'm reading it. And I know, Kathy, you've read it too. Mm-hmm. Have you had people, Kathy, as a tourist? I know there's celebrity cruises is going in there, and there's some other people. Have you had anyone kind of contacting you, kind of wondering what this means?
I mean, not so far as of yet.
Because I would imagine anyone thinking about this, even if there are going to be continued tours, would think twice about that, and they might just assume that things are canceled. But they're not canceled yet, are they, Jürgen?
No, there's nothing canceled yet. It also, the Trump administration said they're not going to do any changes unless this is completely worked out and defined. Well, we'll probably be within a short period. I don't see a lot of cancellations. I think I see hesitation in investment projects, or maybe Mr. Marriott would think twice before building a hotel in Cuba. On a personal basis, Americans always travel to Cuba, whether it's legal or illegal. I've been on these flights from Cancun to Cuba. Not that I'm saying I traveled there illegally. I traveled there legally. But I tell you, 90% of the people on board of these flights were traveling illegally, and they were proud doing this, and they're all Americans. So,
Well, I only heard one time, I had a friend who had actually been doing, I guess you could call it religious. He was doing Reiki. He's a Reiki master, and he'd been down, this was years ago, been going down there years from Canada, and really didn't think too much about it. He'd just go from Canada, and as you said, many people do. But he was contacted by the U.S. government one time because he actually had, I think it was even just donations, but they found out that there was money exchanged, and they contacted him and wanted him to return the money that was brought in from his time down there. And
it's amazing. I mean, the manpower we have to have in place of agents watching people, so it's kind of a scary thought.
Yeah, well, but to be clear again, I guess the authorized travel by a cruise ship or a passenger vessel is still going to be happening, that people will still be able to engage in authorized travel to Cuba by a cruise ship, and I guess the airlines still can fly there. But as you said, I guess what's going to be impacted more is what's going to be continued. Will there be more growth, or there be people who consider, and probably will consider twice about going, maybe, through that are the average, not the independent travelers, but people who are the tourists that may have considered it to be safer before. What's your thought about that, the difference of people going that would stop going now, or versus the ones you said that will always go? Because those are the ones that would always go, are a little bit more of the adventuresome, free and independent travelers, right?
Yeah, and then that's basically what Cuba always benefited from. These are the travelers who were adventurous, because you go into this uncertain territory as a U.S. citizen where you don't know if this is really legal. Oh, I'm doing something really exciting here, because, you know, we cannot really define what you're doing, whether this is on the up and up or not. And some people love this type of feeling. I think these are the type of tourists Cuba always had.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba, there are many attractive destinations in the Caribbean. Cuba is not the only attractive destination, but it's attractive to the American market because it has this nostalgia type feeling when you go there. And the Obama administration was about to change this. So maybe it's going to go back to status quo like it was before.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Americans will travel. Hotels are going to be full. The government ownership of the hotels will prosper. And I hope the small guys will prosper.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was in Cuba, I took local taxis, and I talked to a taxi driver, and he spoke English very well. And they were telling me how it works. It's their own business, and they're working 12 hours a day because they make their own money, more money as driving a taxi than they would working for the government. So positive changes within Cuba are happening because of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we overlook this. I personally don't think a lot of things will change because they haven't changed yet.
Mm-hmm.
If now you would see, like Waikiki Beach, individual travelers pouring into Cuba to go on a beach vacation, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything will change from what it is now,
mm-hmm.
but it won't change maybe the way we expected it to change.
Good point. Good point. Well, I know you're really busy doing lots of things. You've got your you've got your hands in so many things. There was actually that big event happening in Montreal that you were supporting as well. Wasn't that the yearly event that takes place?
We have a number of events. Are you talking about the Peace Through Tourism?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Peace Through Tourism is going to be happening the end of this year. It didn't happen yet.
Oh, okay.
And it's the annual event from, it's actually not annual, I think it's every other year, from the International Institute for Peace Through Tourism. That will be happening September 16th to the 18th in Montreal.
Right.
And we're partnering with them. We've partnered with Louis D'Amour, who is the founder of the initiative is the president of the International Institute for Peace Through Tourism. And you can actually find information on this event at iipt.org. It's the website for the International Institute for Peace Through Tourism.
Yeah, I know you introduced me to him. He was on our show, and he was very impressive. And
oh, great.
There's more need, and I already think that people who travel should be peace ambassadors anyway, and we learn so much that brings the world together in travel and brings about more understanding and peace in the world when people do travel. So I think it's wonderful that you're doing that and involved with that as well. So I really appreciate your amazing input and your wealth of knowledge. If people want to go to some information, if they wanted to follow your news resources, they can even sign up for your newsletter, can't they?
Yeah, it's free, and we would love to have more people reading us here in Hawaii. We have a number of websites. Probably the easiest to remember is etn.travel. It's not .com.net. There is a .travel, and you can sign up right there. Just click on subscribe. It's free, and we actually even have a Hawaii category, what would give you a quite infrequent, I have to admit, Hawaiian updates as well.
Well, you have information that is so complete from around the world, and I've always found it very interesting. Receiving information from you. And there's, again, so much going on. My gosh, we haven't even talked about nearly anything that's happening in the rest of the world. There's so much that does happen. And it's important to get the real news, and rather than just sometimes a one-minute story on a national newscast that is sometimes doesn't have enough time to really cover these things properly. So I always appreciate you calling in, and I want to thank you so much, Jürgen, for your time and information and your wisdom in this matter, okay?
No, it's always a pleasure being on your show, and thanks for all your nice words. That makes me feel good. Thank you.
Well, no, I do appreciate you, and you have a wonderful rest of your afternoon, okay?
Mahalo. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Jürgen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.